Put your hand up if you like food. Probably be easier to ask the other way around. Who doesn't like food? Put your hand up if you have a favourite food. You have a favourite food, boys and girls. Have you got a favourite food? It is working, yes. What's your favourite food?
Pancakes.
With chocolate. Yes, I thought so. Anybody else got a favourite food? Have you got a favourite food?
Broccoli.
No. Wow. Big round of applause. Are you telling a porky pie here? You like broccoli? Good on you. And you like chocolate. Oh, I see, broccoli with chocolate. Yes, very good. Anybody else got a favourite food? Anybody else over here? No? Anybody else got a favourite food? Anybody else got a favourite type of food? We're not too far from the curry capital of the UK, are we?
Ice cream.
Anybody else? One more? Anybody else? Favourite food? You must have a favourite food. Pardon?
Yorkshire pudding.
Great, yes. Well, yeah, favourite. I love them all. I love Thai curries, Asian curries. I love Italian. I love Spanish tapas. I love fish and chips. Not too keen on broccoli, but perhaps I ought to work on it. But I reckon I'm not the only person here who would say that you've got to go a long way to beat a chunk of fresh, crusty bread and butter. Yeah? It's wonderful, isn't it? Not too long out the oven, half a pound of butter on it. You've got to go. I've fallen out with Morrison's. I've had a serious fallout with Morrison's because they used to do a lovely loaf called Artisan Boule. No? Yeah. And they've just stopped making it. So I've had a word with the customer service department and I've put comments for improvement on the board and I've asked for reasons why it's been withdrawn. Zilch. So at the moment, I'm Artisan Boule-less. But there you go. Because bread, well, it's just lovely, isn't it? Absolutely lovely is bread. So, thing about this is this, though. Whatever your favourite food is, and however much you get of it, we're hungry about 3 or 4 hours later, aren't we? It never lasts very long. So, what was Jesus getting at when he said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty"? And what did he mean when he said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever"? And why did the people listening to him get so angry when he said these things? They said, at this the Jews began to grumble because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, who's the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" So what was going on? Well, there's two things we need to grasp to understand what was going on. And the first was this. Earlier in this encounter with these people, reference had been made to the time when the children of Israel wandered through the desert on the point of starvation. And God provided a kind of bread for them. It appeared on the ground every morning and it was called manna. And it kept them alive. So when Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven," he was comparing himself to this manna. He was, in effect, saying, "I have come from God, just like the manna. I am God's gift to you to keep you alive, just like the manna was." So you can understand why people reacted a bit because, well, it does sound a little bit big-headed, doesn't it? "I have come from God. I am God's gift to you." It does sound a tad big-headed. And you can understand why people reacted. "What's he on about? Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know where he comes from. He comes from that carpenter shop down the road. What's he on about?" But there was more. Secondly, Jesus was saying something even more outrageous than that he came from God. On several occasions, Jesus said, "I am. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the true vine." It was a phrase of his that he used a lot. Now, this is a bit difficult to explain, so stay with me. In Hebrew, the word "I am," the word that we translate "I am," was one of the words used in the Old Testament for the name of God. There are several names for God in the Old Testament, but that was one of them. It's a word called Yahweh, and it's almost impossible to translate, but it kind of means "I am," or "I am who I am. I just am." It's actually how God replied to Moses in the wilderness, in the wandering time, at the burning bush. Moses said to God, "Well, what's your name?" And God said, "Yahweh, I am." It's as if God was saying to Moses, "What do you mean, what's your name? I don't have an ordinary name, you know. You're talking to God here. I am." You see the force of it? I don't have an ordinary, my name's not Fred or Steve or whatever. I just am. In fact, this word, Yahweh, was regarded by the Jews as so holy, they wouldn't even speak it. And when they came across it, when they read their scriptures, they used another word instead that was regarded as less holy because they weren't good enough to utter the name of God. So when Jesus comes along and keeps saying, "I am the good shepherd, I am the bread of life," it really stirred people up. He was appropriating to himself the most holy name of God. And people got really very upset. And here's this funny thing about Jesus. Yes, if you look at his words, well, let's be frank. Jesus does come across as a bit of a bighead. But if you look at the way he lived his life, you get a totally different picture. Somebody once said this: Jesus spoke like a somebody, but he lived like a nobody. Most people who claim greatness are pretty awful people. The Roman Caesars claimed to be God. Napoleon, Stalin, Hitler, these people lived pretty awful lives. A lot of celebrities are great in the eyes of the world, but when you dig down a little bit, a lot of them are pretty sordid people. But Jesus was different. He claimed the ultimate in greatness. He claimed to be God, but he lived a life of love, humility, and gentleness. He was the embodiment of contentment. He touched lepers. He spoke to the outcast that everybody else ignored. He welcomed everyone. He spoke like a somebody, but he lived like a nobody. I wonder if there are some people here this morning who haven't yet made up their mind about the Christian faith. Well, let me tell you this. It all hinges on Jesus. You need to take a really good look at Jesus. Don't look at the church, for heaven's sake, because we're always making a mess of it. It all hinges on Jesus. Take a good look at the things that he said and the way that he lived. And ask yourself this question: does it ring true? Does it ring true? Does this look like a madman? Someone who thinks he's God, when actually he's just a carpenter from down the road? Or does this look like a con artist who claims to be God while all the time knowing that he isn't? Or do the words and actions of Jesus ring true? In particular, look at the death of Jesus and look at the evidence for the resurrection. It's actually quite compelling. Jesus said, I am the living bread. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He wasn't, of course, inviting the people then, just as he isn't inviting us now to literally eat his flesh. But he said, when I died on the cross, I gave my body for you. I died for your sins. When you eat the bread, that's like taking on board for oneself all that Jesus did on the cross. It's like having a part of Jesus, as it were, and having a part in everything that he achieved when he died for the sins of the world on the cross. Eat my flesh, he said. Have a part of me. Join in with what I'm doing. Take advantage of what I'm going to do for you on the cross. And you will live forever. Like I said at the start, no matter how much you like food, and no matter how nice it is, it only lasts for a few hours. But Jesus, the living bread from heaven, will last us forever. If you'd like to think a little bit more about this, I've got some booklets, and I'd like to give you one after the service. A little book called Journey into Life explains very simply what it means to become a Christian. Do ask me for one at the end of the service. And I've got one or two copies that are designed for children. Maybe for children a little bit older than the ones we've got here this morning, but some of them would cope with mum or dad going through it with them, I would think. So do come and ask me for a little booklet if you'd like to find out more about what it means to be part of the life of the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we gather shortly round this table to remember what you did for us, as we take this bread and sip this wine, may we, by faith, take on board all that you achieved for us when you died for our sins on the cross, and help us to grow daily in our understanding of it and in our love for you. Amen.